What's going on, everybody? You are tuned in to the Stoned On Sports podcast. My name is Matt. This other cat with me is Kyle. And tonight, we are bringing you bold predictions for the 2024 MLB season. It's a little cliche, but I think we're going to have a bit of fun with it. You know, this is something that I've been looking forward to for quite a while. It's opening day now. This is my favorite day of the year. Kyle, how you doing, buddy? Our Tigers are 1-0.
They are. Scooble threw a gem today, and it makes you wonder. You know, I mean, I got them winning the Central, obviously. I said that the other day on Tuesday, but very promising. Scooble looked great. Looked great.
Nice.
No walks, 6 strikeouts. So, Blue Jays in the house.
What's up,
how
Blue?
You doing, man? Haven't seen you in a minute. Glad to have you here in the show. And Dubo, always here. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your support. Again, both of you guys, really appreciate it.
What's going on, fellas? Yes.
Bold prediction. So we're each just taking one from each position. So we'll talk about 8 each. And I will start it off. We're starting with catcher. Gabriel Moreno with the Diamondbacks. Finished as the 21st catcher last year in fantasy. Only played 111 games, but had 19 doubles, a few home runs, 50 RBIs, 33 runs scored. Really, it's his athleticism and that bat-to-ball skill. I think he's going to be one of the better catchers in baseball very soon. Very, very soon. Had a little shoulder, I think, injury last season, sidelined him for a while, but man, he caught fire after that. Slashing 313, 383, and 512 with 5 homers and 24 the rest of the season. Watching and reading and looking at some of his data for much of the first half of the season, he seemed content with just punching singles to the right all the time. And then after he came back from that injury, he definitely looked to hammer the ball more as the season progressed. And he was awesome in the postseason too, hitting another 4 home runs and 60 or so at bats. There's subtle signs there of a power spike. His slugging percentage did rise to .512 in the second half. He's going to be behind the plate every day there in Arizona. I would imagine 145 games at least. This spring he had 12 game or was in 12 games, went 6 for 36. Not a great spring so far, hitting .182, home run, 3 ribbies, 3 runs, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. But my bold prediction is he's a top 10 catcher this year. I'll say 8-9, right in there. He hasn't really had a full spring, was dealing with a low back tightness, but he's good to go now. So I like him as a catcher this year. He's somebody I'm going to be real high on for next season, even higher.
Oh, for sure. You know, he's a younger cat. And what I like about him is he gives you the average and the on-base skills at a position where you don't normally receive that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to agree with that little spicy hot take you got there. It's, not nuclear heat, but there's a nice little tingle on the tongue.
It's semi-bold sure. Predictions.
Sure. I can dig that, man. Well, I think I would like to take a turn then.
Absolutely. Well, I love this guy too, and you just happened to pick him before I did. Otherwise, I would have probably chosen him as well.
I'm going to talk about Texas Rangers catcher Jonah Heim. He had 18 dongs last year. He was the number 6 catcher last season. So for me to say that he's going to finish in the top 10 would definitely not be all that spicy of a take. Did manage to play in 131 games, scored 61, drove in 95. He doesn't kill you with his average. He'll be right around 260 on base. We'll call it another 60 points higher, give or take. The thing I like, strikeout rate, a little bit lower than league average. Walk rate is right around league average, but he's really developed into a pretty solid catcher, at least from an offensive perspective. This spring, a little bit rough. He was homerless, had a triple slash, a .250, .289, .278, good for a .567 OPS, 3 strikeouts, 2 walks in 38 plate appearances. And you'd say, well, damn, a line like that doesn't necessarily inspire a whole hell of a lot of confidence. For me, it does, because even though he hits lower in the Rangers lineup, that lineup is still fantastic. For me, I think 25 home runs, 100 RBIs. So maybe not necessarily as spicy as yours. But that is quite a jump to expect another 7 home runs from a position catcher where it's difficult to predict their performance year over year, because essentially after opening day, pretty much all of them are playing hurt. They get dinged up, they take a foul ball, they've got bruises and shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, a guy that under the last 2 seasons strikes out under 20% of the time, that sturdy walk rate right around 8%, and that above average whiff rate, I agree with you. I expect plenty of runs and RBIs as part of a strong Rangers lineup.
I can dig that.
All right, we're headed to first base. I'm the theme here. I'm going with Arizona exclusively. No, I'm just kidding. Christian Walker with the Diamondbacks. Really liked him last year. He was the number 4 first baseman last season, finished in fantasy. Gold Glover the last couple seasons. Finished this regular season with a slash of .258, .333, and .497 with that career high, .830 OPS, 33 homers. A career high 103 ribbies, a career high 11 stolen bases, with 100% success rate last season. He is, you know, entrenched, you know, really as the Arizona's cleanup hitter there. Impressive strikeout percentage last year around 19, walk above average at 9.4%. Listen, as long as his plate discipline remains strong and he can remain healthy, which he has done the last couple seasons playing 157 or more, he's still one of the cheaper first baseman options out there in drafts, if you know, if you haven't drafted yet. But don't be afraid. If he's available, the return on investment, I think, will be worth it. He's had a great spring, hitting .300, 4 doubles, 2 home runs, scored 3 runs, 5 ribbies, 1 walk, only struck out 4 times. That's a 9.5 strikeout rate and those 42 plate appearances. So small sample, but I think it's good. Bold. Top 5 first baseman this season, given a strong Arizona lineup.
I can dig it. He's probably one of the more underrated players in fantasy. He's given you 30 home runs the past few years. He drove in 100 last year. And look, coming into the season last year, there ain't a soul that expected the Diamondbacks to make it all the way to the World Series. But that's a team that's really starting to gel. I'm on board with that pick. I approve. You have my seal of approval for that.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no
problem. Who you got for first base, brother?
Somebody who I've got him in my home league, and I'm thrilled to do so. I'm talking about Bryce Harper, first baseman from the Phillies. Look, I'm going to keep it simple with him. He's hitting in the heart of a pretty damn good lineup. He's in a great ballpark. He's a year removed from his surgery. He's got outstanding on-base skills, good power. Was kind of ass this spring, not going to lie. 179 average, 508 OPS, no home runs, 5 walks, 11 strikeouts, and 34 plate appearances. But guess what? I don't give 2 shits about that.
No. Nope.
Because this year, Bryce Harper is returning to his 40 home run, 100 RBI form. Take that shit to the bank right there.
I agree. I mean, sign me up. I think I've said it before. Sign me up for anybody that gets on base 40% of the time. You're going to be fine with him in your home league or anybody else that's drafted with him spring, you know, whatever. The consistent production that he brings and the protection that he receives in that Phillies lineup, still going to deliver stellar stats.
Yes, he is.
All right. That to the middle infield. Bryson Stott, I'm staying with the Phillies, brother. Guy made monumental improvements last season from his rookie season in 2022. He finished as a top 10 second baseman last year. He was number 10, exactly. Played plenty of games, 150, 32 doubles, which was third among second basemen. Not a ton of power there, but I expect some more this year. He had 15 home runs, 62 RBIs, also very fast and speedy, stole 31 stolen bases. He was a top 3 finish among second basemen in average at .280 and those stolen bases at 31. it's easy to see somebody with his swing and his speed to hit 300. I think it could happen. Through August 11th, he was hitting 302 with a 791 OPS. And then he did struggle down the stretch. If you remember, we talked about that in our second base preview. Did improve his strikeout rate, almost four points as well, 4%. Improved his slugging from 358 to 419. It's in a good lineup there. I think he can even raise his ceiling even more this year with a more smart and more, you know, disciplined approach at the plate. He's got a good eye. He's quoted as saying this spring that he hopes to chase less and thereby earn more walks and make better contact that season. You know, every hitter wants to do that, as well. Spring, not so good. Great. 11 for 56 this spring, hitting 200, two doubles, a triple, a home run, seven runs, RBI, sorry, one walk, and struck out 14 times, but bold. He'll hit 20 home runs this year and finish in the top six of second baseman. And he'll flirt with that 300, I think.
I don't see the power coming from him. He is more of a contact hitter. He has excellent contact skills. I'll give that to you. I could definitely see him hitting 300. I mean, even if it's not this year as he matures as a hitter, but there's just not a lot of pop in that bat. The finish, all right, I'll give that to you, but I don't see the home runs coming through.
Well, it's only five more than he had last season. I think he can do it.
All right. Well, I guess we'll talk about my guy now.
Okay.
Chicago Cubbies, Nico Horner, second baseman. This dude, he finished as the number four second baseman last year. Gave you a nice season, just shy of 10 home runs, drove in 68, scored 98, which was third at the position, led all second baseman with 43 stolen bases, doesn't kill you with average, gets on base. He doesn't strike out. He's got a 96th percentile strikeout rate, which is only 12.1%. There isn't really a whole lot of power to speak of there. He doesn't really hit the ball hard or elevate it. But again, I don't care. He is coming into his
prime. You know, hit 10. Give me 10. Right. Give me 10 home runs.
He's coming into his prime. He's got a decent frame. He's 6'1", 200. This spring, been kind of rough. 176, 192, 255 triple slash. Good for a 447 OPS. Did hit a couple three baggers. Struck out seven times. Didn't walk at all in 52 plate appearances. Bold prediction for this year. 15 home runs. 60 stolen bases. I think he's going to be a menace on the base paths this year. It was.
I mean, only four players outstole him in bases last season. That's Acuna, Corbin Carroll, Witt, and CJ Abrams. That's it. So he's top five in the league. I like that call. 60s, it's a bold number. I like it.
It is.
Heck yeah, man. All right. Speaking of CJ Abrams, so we're moving on to shortstops now. With the Washington Nationals, young kid, really, really like him a lot. Finished as the number seven shortstop last year in fantasy, played 151 games. We just mentioned the stolen bases. He had 47 of them, ranked fourth in all of baseball. Just crazy. Number two at the position. Loved it. As the season went on, he was kind of inconsistent, but at times you saw those flashes. He was kind of electrifying. And as fall approached, he really definitely the player that the Nationals traded Soto for, one of the players, I should say, definitely showed flashes of the player that they hoped that he would be. Before the All-Star break, he was chasing pitches out of the zone 37.2% of the time, specifically balls low and away, and pitchers really keyed on that. And he really swung at balls too far on the inside of the plate as well. And he'd get jammed and he'd do a bunch of, and it was a lot of weak grounders. But when the manager moved him to the leadoff spot in July, that's when he really took off. He was before that, he was hitting just 233 with 11 stolen bases. As soon as he started to be the leadoff man, the strikeout percentage went down 10%. Power came as a little bit of a surprise, too, after only having two homers as a rookie in 2022. Quality strikeout rate at 19%. The walks are something to watch, though. 5%'s too low. And that's why you'll see that subpar 300 on base percentage is not good. So he's got some things to work at, but I think he can take advantage of that above average raw power a bit more often. I think if he can find some more consistency with that, he could get above the 20 homer mark. He's there for quite a while, till the 2028 season. I got him finishing as a top 10 shortstop again this year. Bold. He's going to steal 50 bases. And like I said, he'll finish, you know what? I'll change it. He'll finish 5 overall in shortstops in fantasy.
No shit. I like it. You've got the power speed potential there. There's some pop in his bat, even if it's not translated to the big home run numbers that you would like. He's got an incredible prospect pedigree. He come over in the Juan Soto trade a couple years ago. And even when he was up with San Diego, you could tell he wasn't quite ready, right? And yeah. A player's development, it's not a linear process, just the same as any other profession. Sometimes it takes you a minute to get your feet under you, and I think you're seeing that with CJ Abrams. I endorse that bold prediction, my friend.
Okay, we got Supersonic in the chat. Guys, what's up, man?
What's going on, brother?
Thanks for popping in and watching and checking on us. All right. What shortstop you going with?
Well, let's go to Pittsburgh. I'm going to talk about O'Neill Cruz. This guy, I know we talked about him just a few episodes ago when we were talking about some ADP risers and fallers. This dude is almost like a carbon copy of Ellie De La Cruz, but he's several rounds cheaper. He hits the ball so damn hard. He beats it like the ball owes him money. He hit the hardest ball in the Statcast era. Missed a lot of time over the past couple last year with an ankle injury. He strikes out a lot for his career, 33.7%. What's that mean? That he strikes out more than one third of the time. You're not going to have sustained success doing that. But he's done a good job of learning to lift the ball. His ground ball rates has decreased each of the past couple seasons. Granted, there's some small sample sizes in there. At the end of the day, we're talking about a cat with less than 100 games of MLB experience. This spring, he's been on damn fire. 261, 333, 739 triple slash, good for a 1.07 OPS, 7 home runs, which... You know, it's important that you look and see who he hit those home runs off of. Chances are he took some dude's yard who right now are driving for Uber. But it is what it is. 16 strikeouts, 5 walks, and 51 plate appearances. My bold prediction for him, plays in 150 games and turns in a 35-35 season. 35 home runs, 35 steals. The pop is there in his bat. He's got the speed. He is the centerpiece of what they're building there in Pittsburgh.
He really is. I love that. That's bold. I love it. we got in here D Hollywood Cruz, smoother than butter, dude. I hear you.
He's you so got fast. That right. He's
in top 2 sprint speed in the league. Big things to come for that guy. Hollywood, thanks for joining us tonight. If you don't already know, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern talking fantasy baseball.
That's right. We're here to help you win your fantasy baseball leagues. If you ever have lineup questions, waiver decisions you need to make, hop on in the chat. We'll get you squared away. If you can't catch us live, jump in the comments. We're pretty damn attentive there, and we try and get back to people as quickly as possible because we understand, hey, sometimes you need to make decisions on a compressed timeline.
Exactly. All right, we're headed to the hot corner. What are you doing?
Nothing. I didn't push any buttons.
Oh, that's weird. Josh Jung with the Texas Rangers, 20th third baseman last season in fantasy. Played 122 games, 25 doubles, 23 dingers. I can't say dongs. You say dongs all the time. It bothers me. So I'm going to say dingers. I know you got dongs on the mind. 23
don't worry about me.
70 RBIs and 75 runs. Coming off a nice productive rookie season. He was 4th in the AL Rookie of the Year voting. Not all was really rosy with him, though. Had a subpar walk rate of 5.8% and a pretty high strikeout rate of 29.3%. He missed some of the season, about 6-7 weeks, broke his thumb, required some surgery. He was hitting pretty well in the first half with an 835 OPS. But after the All-Star break, it kind of tanked to a 638 OPS. Does hit the ball well. Top 25% of the league or better in expected slugging, average exit velo, barrel rate, and hard hit rate. He's kind of had no spring. Okay, so we don't really know too much about him. He only had a total of 8 bats this spring, playing in 1 Cactus League game, and they had an exhibition game Monday against Boston. He strained his left calf real early in spring training and before games even started, actually, but he's healthy now. He's in the opening day lineup. Today he's batting in the 3 spot. I think he's a solid investment on the back of, you know, big-time power, superior stats, and the Rangers supporting cast. Bold. He's going to hit 30 home runs this year. I got him finishing as a top 12 third baseman.
Nice. You seen the forearms on that, man? Good yes. Lord. Holy shit. You want to talk about Popeye looking dude. Those things are massive. He stands there and just turns a bat handle into sawdust, I bet. Look, he's got the pop. You saw the typical rookie struggles last year. You know, your high strikeouts, low walks. He's learning to master the strike zone. That offense, you absolutely love it. I mean, everybody loves it. And you know, the principle holds true that, you know, when I see a good offense, give me a piece. I want to invest. And I think he is a pretty good option to get a piece of that offense. There is a little bit of concern about, you know, a sophomore slump. He didn't get a spring, so maybe he's not fully up to speed until,
and I'm sure he's not,
late April, early May.
I don't know how you could get up to speed at 8 at bats. So
right. If you're willing to be patient with him, I think he's a great option. The one thing that I guess I'm concerned with is we've gone through this preseason and this spring training, and everybody is hyping up the Rangers and their offense, and they're going to be badass, and this is great. It's almost like they caught magic, or, you know, lightning in a bottle last year. Everybody came through, everybody contributed, and it's hard to count on that for a second straight season. Odds are, you know, Murphy's Law. Somebody on that team's going to shit the bed. Somebody's going to get hurt. You know, Corey Seager's got his thing because he's seemingly always hurt. But you wonder who it's going to be. So this spring, well, it was him.
Yeah.
But
if it's trending anything like on my fantasy home team, it's going to be Adelise Garcia because, you know, I've had 4 guys on IL already. Throw another one on. Why not? It's April. It's March 28th. You know, what the hell? Sorry, man.
It is all good, man. My turn. We're going to talk about a team that scored 11 runs today and their third baseman, Gunnar Henderson of the Baltimore Orioles, your reigning rookie of the year. He was a number 8 third baseman last year, 25 home runs, drove in over 80, scored 100, 66 total extra base hits, a very respectable 255, 325, 489 triple slash, good for an 814 OPS. This dude, he's another cat that hits the ball incredibly hard, strikes out too. So you need to be cognizant of that. His pop is real, though. You should have plenty of opportunities to produce runs in this Baltimore Orioles lineup, and they got started today right off the bat.
They did.
He's continuing to, you know, I want to see him continue to increase his launch angle. I think he's got some pretty damn good upside there if he can continue to do so. In his spring, he's been outstanding. 417, 432, 722 triple slash, good for an 1155 OPS. 2 home runs, 9 strikeouts. He only walked once in 37 plate appearances. My bold prediction for this year is a top 3 MVP finish, 40 home runs, 100 driven in, 100 scored.
That's bold times 2. I love it. Heck yeah. I mean, it's an exciting team there in Baltimore. I really like that that group of that squad of players, I should say. But But this is the guy that's going to just bust the innards out of a baseball this year or next. He just mashes. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, he rips a cover off the damn ball.
For sure. Reminds me of, I think I mentioned it before, reminds me of that Sandlot scene where Benny crushes that ball. But anyway. Yeah, he was, what, 1 of 4 today? Maybe. Yep, scored a run, walked once, struck out once. Leading off. What a great team that's going to be.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And we're headed to the outfield. I really like this guy. God, I like him. Got him on one of my teams. Outfielder Michael Harris, the second with the Braves. Finished as the 32nd outfielder last season. So, you know, one of the top outfielders in the league. Played 138 games, 33 doubles. A few triples, 18 home runs, 57 RBIs, 76 runs, 20 stolen bases with an 808 OPS. He was the NL Rookie of the Year in 2022. Started kind of weak last spring, but definitely welcomed the summer months, as most hitters do. In June, for instance, he was 35 for 94 with a 1.005 OPS. Finished the year strong. Above average hitter and expected slugging, exit velo barrel rate, and hard hit rate. Improved on his strikeout percentage. That went down year over year, about almost 6 points. Walks are a concern. I know he's worked on it this spring from what I've read, because he was in the bottom 4% because he was just chasing so many pitches out of the zone. But some upside, I believe I mentioned this on our outfielder preview as well, spent most of the season at the bottom of the order. A lot of times batting right before Acuna as well. Projected to bat 6. I think I didn't look today what it was, but I think that'll free him up for even more stolen bases, RBIs, and more run scoring opportunities. I will say he will finish as a top 20 outfielder this season in fantasy with a 25-30 season. 25 home runs, 30 stolen bases.
He's been teasing us with 2020 the past couple of years, and I think that's a good call that he breaks through and kind of gets over that hump. Again, you could rinse and repeat what I said about Texas. You love sure. The offense. You know, you want to get a piece of it. He's a dude who's on the rise, right? You're not taking somebody who's on the downside of his career. His ass is just starting. You love the power-speed combo. He's a good enough defender where you're not going to have to worry about him ceding any kind of playing time to anybody else. I like it. That's
yeah. It's a little and spicy. he's had a nice spring too. 17 of 55 for a .333 batting average, few home runs, scored 9 runs, knocked in 8 runs, only walked 2 times. So it was still pretty sub 5 walk rate there as well. But I'm very high on him this season.
I see that. We've been talking about him pretty much all spring, too.
Yeah.
Well, my outfielder, I'm going with the relatively unknown Juan Soto of the New York Yankees. It's his first year in New York. He's in a walk year. You absolutely love the stadium for his lefty bat. And on the whole, the Yankees offense should be much improved. We're talking about a cat who should be a lock for a 400 on base percentage, and there's a damn good chance he walks more than he strikes out. He's somebody else who hits the ball incredibly hard, but he hits it on the ground a lot, and I'm not a fan of that. He's had a fantastic spring. 304, 373, 630, good for a 1,003 OPS. Unleashed 4 dongs, struck out 9 times, walked 5 in 51 plate appearances. My bold prediction for him is a two-parter. All right. Part one, okay. The Yankees actually stay healthy, which I think is probably the boldest prediction we could make today regarding anyone.
Sure.
Because the Yankees stay healthy, the run production goes through the roof. 50 home runs, 120 RBIs, and 110 runs scored. I think he is just absolutely going to go off this year. In all my drafts, I was targeting him to be the centerpiece of my outfield, especially because outfield is a bit shallower this year than in years past, and he is right there in the top tier of guys.
Yeah. Do you think he tops 130 walks again with that increased production?
He might not, but I think he'll be close to 100.
Okay. Yeah, because he's third season in a row now with 130 or more. I mentioned on a few weeks ago that if his career ended today, he'd be 19th all time in on base percentage between Shoeless Joe Jackson and Mickey Mantle. So, yeah, if you can get him, I know you were able to get him, and he was definitely one of your targets. So,
Oh yeah, I paid for it too.
you sure did. You sure did. All right, I've been talking about this cat for a year and a half now. Justin Steele with the Chicago Cubs. I just really, really like him. Number 12 pitcher in fantasy last season. Started 30 games, won 16 of them. Now I don't think that'll happen this season. I think the win total will definitely regress, but a nice ERA of 3.06, WHIP 1.17, 176 Ks. Cat was in the NL Cy Young conversation for much of the year. And he's just so good with limiting runs. Three earned runs or fewer in 26 of his 30 starts. It's just insane. And the way that he pitches deep into games, which is not as common with pitchers in the major leagues this year, at least 6 innings in 23 of his 30 starts, and at least 5 innings in 27 of his 30 starts. So he's got pretty good control as well. A good strikeout rate, good strikeout to walkout ratio that kind of aligns with guys like Snell and Logan Webb and even Aaron Nola. He was top 7% of the league. He walked just 5% of batters he faced. That is just sick. Plus 24% strikeout rate as well. Throws a fun ton of first pitch strikes. Which is sometimes hard to do with a guy that is really only a two pitch pitcher. It's even hard to be a successful starter with just two pitches, but he can do it. I think he provides, more bang for your buck. He was drafted pretty high this season. This spring, he started 4 games, pitched 11 innings, faced a total of 45 batters, gave up 9 hits, 6 earned run, 1 home run, walked a couple, struck out 13. So that's a 29% strikeout rate. That's a 4% walk rate with a 1.00 WHIP in the spring. So pretty good. He's starting today in about 3 minutes. He was dealing with the left knee contusion, but he is out on the mound today for the Cubs. My bold take, he's a top 10 pitcher this year and hits 200 strikeouts.
Oh shit. Top 10 pitcher. That is kind of bold. But
He
that's
was
what
only
they're
12
talking
last
about.
year, but this is
Yeah,
why we're
and it
into
seemed
that.
like he just come from out of nowhere
He
last
sure
year because
did.
I didn't really hear much buzz about him during spring training. Now, granted, at that time, number one, we didn't really have a podcast to worry about. Number two, I'm not a Cubs fan. And how do you know I'm not a Cubs fan? Because Cubs fans are like vegans. They love to tell you about it. I'm a Tigers fan. God, Cubs fans are so annoying. Anyways, sorry, Rainey,
Sorry,
but
Rainy.
it is what it is. Look, he's a hell of a pitcher. My main concern about him is just the fact that he throws two pitches. A lot of times that's what you see with relievers.
Yeah. And it's not
Because
even his fastball's not anything special. Like 92, 91, 8, somewhere around there.
yeah. I don't know if I can endorse this one, but that's why it's called a bold prediction and not a conservative estimate.
That's right. Who you got for a starting pitcher?
So you'd had a kind of a rough outing today, but
He
it's a
sure
long
did.
season. Mitch Keller of the Pittsburgh Pirates. This
Was
dude's
up for a
coming
second.
off. What's that?
I said that was picture was up for like a half a second.
Oh, well,
I'm just
it's all
giving you
right.
shit.
Coming off a lot of career highs last season, 194 innings, career high 25.5% strikeout rate, walk rate of 6.7%, which was a career best. His ERA was kind of high, but at 4.21, but his FIP was respectable at 3.8, and his xFIP was a tenth lower than that. But I think there is a lot of bad luck in that ERA as well. He's kind of been hurt by an above average BABIP each of the past 3 seasons. He's done well at limiting hard contact. He's improved in that each of the last 3 years, and his hard hit percentage and average exit velo are now both below league average. He did give up some more fly balls last year, and we saw a corresponding dip to his ground ball percentage. Generally not what you want to see there, but you know, it is what it is. Hopefully he can work on getting that flip back around. Had some nice gains to his chase rate, swinging strike rate, and whiff rate. He's shown flashes of brilliance at times, sure. But he still has some periods where he struggles, and the thing for him is going to be maintaining the high performance consistently, right? I think he's a late bloomer on the verge of a breakout. He had an okay spring, 12 innings pitch, 4.5 ERA, a 1.5 whip, gave up a home run, 8 strikeouts, 6 walks. But my bold prediction for him is that he has a top 3 finish in the Cy Young Award voting this year. I think it's his breakout year.
Okay. It might be good because, you know, he had that stellar first half. I think he was an all-star last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just bombed. And he had never pitched over 150, 160 innings ever and went 190 plus last year. And I really think fatigue was a lot of the problem with him in the second half as well. But still,
I think he was pitching through an injury too. If I remember right, I want to say it was a groin injury.
Gotcha. I don't hate it. He was just one of 8 pitchers last season to pitch 190 innings and with 200 or more strikeouts. So the cat's got skills. He's good. We'll see. We've only seen really one dominant half from him. So it's up. We'll see. Top 3 in Cy Young. All right.
You could say the same thing about Tarek Skubal, though. He had a dominant half season last year, and shit, just before the season started, he was a second or third round pick. Mitch Keller, you can get significantly later.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Adbert Azalea with the Cubs.
Good job.
Thank you. He is pretty much the Cubs closer. I mean, it's his job to lose, I believe. He was number 28 relief pitcher in fantasy last season. Did finish the year with a 2.67 ERA across 58 appearances, threw in 22 saves, and really, because he was a starter before, he transitioned nicely into that closer role. Solid strikeout rate of 9.4 per 9, so he has that ability generate a lot of swings and misses. Had an excellent whip of 1.016 as well. His batting average against was .225 with an OPS against of .611. So that really demonstrates, you know, his effectiveness in limiting damage. His batted ball data is really all around league average with the hard hit rate slightly below. I mentioned before, it's really his role to lose. And he doesn't really have too much competition either. This spring, he's had 7 appearances, been excellent. 0 ERA, 7 innings pitched. Also struck out 7 batters and only surrendered 1 walk and 4 hits. I think the table is set for him to inherit, you know, more of these ninth inning appearances and rack up those saves. Bold, top 5 closer this year. 35 saves.
Holy shit.
This is bold predictions, not puny pussy predictions.
All right. There you go. Let's watch our language. That's not bad. It's not bad. He has the role for now, but I wonder how much leash he's going to have because I believe the Cubs have aspirations of contending for a division title this year. They were in it until the end last year, the last couple weeks of the season. I really thought they were going to make a run at Jordan Montgomery, but they didn't. And that has absolutely jack shit to do with Adbert Azalea. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You're my buddy. I'll back you up and say, you are full of shit. There ain't no way in hell he is going to be a top 5 relief pitcher with 35 saves.
All right.
I think he'll be top six with 33.
Who are you going with? Some guy from the Dodgers will have save opportunity after save opportunity after save opportunity.
You mind if I speak now? All right. We're talking about reliever Evan Phillips of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He is a rare four-pitch reliever, or he throws twice as many pitches as Justin Steele.
Right.
Last year, he was outstanding, an ERA just over two. Strikes out better than a batter per inning. He had 66 strikeouts and 61 and a third last year. He has a sub-1 whip, which, holy shit, it's not like you can complain about that. His walk rate is under 6%. He had a batting average against a 177 last year, an OPS against a 535. He doesn't give up hard contact. His sweeper is outstanding with a 42.1% whiff rate, and opponents batting only 111 against it last year. And he throws that about 45.5% of the time. He's also had a nice spring. Six innings pitched, a zero ERA, a 0.3 whip, nine strikeouts, one walk, and one hit. My bold prediction for him is that he leads the National League in saves and finishes with a whip under one.
Wow. Pretty bold. Not so much. Here, I think he got a save over there in Korea or South Korea.
That shit don't count. And you know what pisses me off? So we have opening day today, right? And then tomorrow you've got like 10 teams off. Like, what the shit? If you're going to start the season on a Thursday, make it a four-game set. Otherwise, just start it on fucking Friday. Yeah. What's up with the cock tease? This is ridiculous. Yeah. Lou's back. Sorry, boys. Yeah. Had to step out for dinner. Kyle wants to know what you had. MVP picks for this year. Let me see if I can...
Tuesday. Yeah, we did that Tuesday. Definitely, it's going to be towards the end of the video. Matt, you had Juan Soto and Acuna.
No, you didn't.
I had Juan Soto. What the hell's going on here?
All right. My AL MVP, I had Corey Seager.
Yeah.
At plus 1,000. And for NL, I had Freddie Freeman and blew the reason I chose Freddie Freeman is I was looking at Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, and I took the one with the longest odds. He was plus 1,200.
Yep.
Blue had hot pot for dinner. That sounds yummy.
Hot pot. I just threw that link to that episode. It was just Tuesday's episode there, Blue. It's right at the end of the video where we give all our picks. I think we picked divisions and everything. So,
yep. Divisions, MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year for each league. And then we gave our World Series prediction.
Yeah. What? Yeah. What is a hot pot? Is that like casserole? Is that like hot dish?
I think is like the Korean Jubal? Barbecue soup stuff.
Okay. Sounds good. Like pho?
I don't think that's Korean. I think that's Vietnamese.
I suppose you're right. Anyway, okay. Let's transition.
It's basically just like a big pot of soup that you cook meat and noodles and veggies in.
Sounds good to me. I like meats and veggies. So yeah, for those of you that might have Nestor Cortez out there, why is he your first rage drop of the year? Because he got lit up today. Four innings pitch, five hits, gave up a home run, four runs, two walks, only had four strikeouts. I did hear that I don't have ESPN for fantasy this year, but I did hear that the fantasy cast was down and not updating live results, and everybody on Reddit was thoroughly pissed. I wonder if it's fixed now. Also called a steamboat. Okay.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
I did see Reds Nick Martini hit two home runs. One was a three-run shot earlier today.
Who the hell is that? I've never heard of him.
Our Tiger second baseman, Colt Keith, got his first major league hit today. That was kind of nice. The Dodgers, dude, that lineup's going to be a problem for opposing pitchers. I mean, yes. they all three of them, Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman, reached base all six times they came to bat for the first two times around. And one of those, Betts led off with a home run, Ohtani drew a walk, and then Freeman homered. And it was 5-0 before Mikolas could do a fucking thing about it. So, it's going to be a long year. I think you said Zach Eflin got beat up too.
Yeah, Zach Eflin had a rough day. The Blue Jays hit three home runs today. Kevin Biggio, George Springer, and old Vlad Guerrero. Ohtani didn't seem too affected by his buddy taking him for $4.5 million. He was 2-for-3 with a double and a run scored. But you were talking about Nestor and a walk, yeah.
And a walk.
You were talking about Nestor Cortez, like the Astros pitchers, not a whole hell of a lot better. They issued 9 walks today in their game against the Yankees, led by Fromber's 6 in just 4 2/3.
Nice.
Josiah Gray also lit up. Oh, no. Josiah Gray also lit up 7 earned runs in just 4 innings pitched.
Speaking of the Yankees, Gerrit Cole was officially put on the 60-day IL as well. I know they were kind of thinking about it if they had to clear room on the 40-man or not, and finally they did. So late May is the soonest he can come back. Corbin Burns had a nice outing as well. 6 innings pitched, 1 hit, 1 earned run, which was
home run from
Mr. Fishy. Yep. He had 11 Ks and 0 walks. So, and then Royce Lewis, everyone's devastated about that already. Hit a home run, hit a single, and then what'd you say, quad or lower leg injury?
Yeah, it was a right quad injury. And the thing is, like, he has MVP level talent. His ass just can't stay on the field. And that's a lot of the Twins line. Byron Buxton is the same way. He's got this, you know, elite talent. He just hurt.
Yeah.
Pablo Lopez got the dub today, though. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned, 7 strikeouts in a kind of a pitcher's duel against Reagan's there with Kansas City. He went 6 innings, gave up 2 earned, walked 3, struck out 9 across 6 innings. I was surprised both he and Logan Webb were up at 95 pitches today. Especially, Logan Webb was at 97, which is quite a bit here for just the very first start of the year.
Sure is. Looking ahead to this weekend's games, do you see anything exciting there? Matchups, things like that?
Tomorrow, specifically, Spencer Strider going up against Zach Wheeler. I am really looking forward to watching that. I absolutely love me a good pitcher's duel, and I think there's a good chance for that. Strider has been fantastic against the Phils. A 151 average against, 8-0, a 190 ERA, a 0.7 whip, and 72 strikeouts. But they've kind of had his number in the playoffs. So, and him and Zach Wheeler, this is both of their first opening day starts, and they've never faced each other.
Yeah. Heck yeah. That's awesome. That's a good matchup for sure. Speaking of the Braves there, I'm curious how Chris Sale's going to look. I think he gets the ball on Sunday. Really excited to see kind of what he looks like, because during the spring, he was looking pretty damn electric. So I want to know if that's going to really carry over when the games matter. And, you know, can he go 5+ innings? You know,
we'll Chris see. Sale is going to be outstanding for the 100 innings he gives you this year.
Yeah. 100.
He's either hurt or he's good. Yeah. Those are his two states of being.
Yeah. Trying to think. The Orioles and Angels, they killed the Angels today, though. But I didn't notice because they sent Holiday to AAA. So I thought they were going with Urias. Do you think with the talent they got there that they could maybe move Jordan Westberg to second and then get Kobe Mayo sooner?
I don't think so. Like, they're not going
to. I was thinking about today.
nobody is doing anything as far as prospect call-ups before April 12th, because that's the day where you can call them up and get the extra year of control.
Yeah.
Right. We could go off on a tangent about that, but it is what it is. I think the hardest thing for them to do is to be patient. And that's a phrase I've said here on this podcast several times throughout the, well, this is episode 75. So the 74 previous episodes, well, not like the first 20 or so, because those were just awful. Don't go back and watch them. You know, they've got, eventually they're going to run into a log jam, because even somebody like Jordan Westberg, elite prospect pedigree, Jackson sure. Holiday, obviously. Now he needs some work on the defensive side. Ramon Urias is not blocking anybody.
No.
But they've got, they had him playing third today with Gunnar Henderson at short. Okay. I think Henderson's going to move back to third base. I don't know, man. That team is just, they are set up for the long haul. And I would imagine, too, some of these young hitters are going to get moved for pitching.
Yeah. You're right. Dubo's got a comment there saying Royce Lewis might just be cramps, hopefully just a few games. Well, that'd be some good news for Royce Lewis owners.
Hell yeah, it is. Did we talk about Skubal's start today? Six innings, three hits, six strikeouts,
walks. Let's talk about Tigers White Sox. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Derek Skubal looked great today. And in case you can't tell, I'm a little bit excited, but that's like is my pick for Cy Young. He's going to be a badass this year. And you know what? Anybody says otherwise, you're just fucking wrong.
Sure. What I was also intrigued about with the Tigers pitching is what they're going to do with that trio, you know, at the end of the bullpen. Because really it looked like Alex Lang was going to be the closer, but Shelby Miller thrown in and Jason Foley, and Foley ended up getting the save today. So
he was throwing gas. Yeah.
They had the
pumped one in there like 101 mile an hour.
Yep. That's interesting. Maybe Foley could be a decent bench stash. Not now, but don't
it's possible. I mean, I still think Alex Lang is the closer there. And I'll say that in quotes. I think today was just more a matter of matchups than anything else.
I texted you earlier too, and Torque hit second.
Yep. I ignored that text though.
And I wasn't sure if that was going to be, I was shocked by that. Not totally shocked, but some surprise.
He's not a number two hitter to me. He's a three or four hitter, but it is what it is. You know, I ain't the one out there making up the lineup card every day. What the hell do I know? You know, I'm just a talking head and shoulders here on YouTube, spouting nonsense and bullshit. Sure.
And I want to see what Parker Meadows can do this year as well. I'm really excited about him. A lot of people kind of maybe compare him to maybe what Josh Lowe did last season.
I'd take that.
Yeah. I mean, it's likely going to be leading off a lot. So
sure. You know, plus we got Kenta Maeda and Jack Flaherty making their Tigers debuts. That's former Twinkie, Kenta Maeda, former Dodger. And an interesting piece on the White Sox staff is Mike Soroka. I think he tore his Achilles twice. He tore it, and then he was rehabbing and tore that shit again, and he come back, and he had a fantastic rookie campaign. Like, he looked great. He looked like one of the next great, like, Atlanta Braves pitchers, and then all that shit happens. And number one, just, like, kudos to you for even making it back from that. You know, I mean, Nancy Kerrigan didn't have it as bad as you, and where in the hell is she at now? Not skating, but your ass back out there on the mound.
Right.
Sure. That's an old school reference that most of our audience probably won't get, but I don't care. I'm kind of looking forward to that Astros and Yankees series this weekend for a couple reasons. Hunter Brown's been kind of hyped up this draft season, and there's some folks that think that he may end up being the Astros' best pitcher this year. And I'm also just kind of the asshole in me wants to see how bad Carlos Rodon pitches as well.
It's not going to probably like Nestor Cortez. Not too good. I know Volpe kind of worked on his swing this year. I wonder, because he had a solid spring, so I'm wondering if it's going to carry over. Again, we'll see, because he's really the only speed guy on that team.
Yeah, I mean, that's, well, they maybe just traded for what's his name, John Birdie.
He's fat. Yeah, he's quick. Yeah,
he's got he's some quick. Speed.
Yeah, because LeMay, he was out, so yeah. Yep, I like it. How about I think that game just started. Yeah, it did. 20 minutes ago, the Rangers and Cubs. When I saw the lineup come out for them, because I was kind of wondering how they were going to deploy their outfield there with the Rangers, and Wyatt Langford's DHing and batting fifth.
Well, I mean, you know, we talk about hype during draft season. I mean, Wyatt Langford shot up the board.
Sure did.
You know, we've got people in our home league saying he's going to be the best right-handed hitter of this generation, which, you know, fuck out of here with that. let's let the kid at least play a game before we're making declarations like that. But, I mean, this is our bold predictions episode, so I guess that does fit right in. You know, it's the beginning of the season. The season is a grind. I want to see how everything looks, especially once they get Corey Seager back. And
sure,
I think their rotation, they're going to need some help. I'm not saying Jordan Montgomery is an ace, but he still pitched damn well for them last season and was a big part in helping them get a ring. Your rotation's led by Nate Eovaldi, who was like fine, but
sure. He was a waiver wire pickup. Won me some weeks for sure. I liked it, but I'm curious if I can't always have Wyatt Langford DH, right? I mean, you're going to have at least probably DH, you would think. And cause then that leaves you Langford, Tavares and Carter out there in the outfield. That's a pretty strong outfield. I know Tavares is really good defensively.
Yeah. And you're going to want to get Jonah Heim some DH games as well to kind of keep him fresh. So there's going to be a rotation, but look, like, make no mistake, in the outfield, Leody Tavares is the odd man out.
Yeah.
And if they're running their best nine out there, it's Adelise, Carter and Wyatt Langford there in the outfield.
Excellent. Heck yeah. I'm out of stuff.
Yep. Me too.
Fantastic. Just a hair
under an hour. We've got some March Madness going on and we've got live baseball. I was giddy like a damn schoolgirl today because this is one of my favorite days of the year. I love opening day.
I was at work today and turned my laptop on, and when the Tigers game started at 4, and I watched most of it. I listened to probably most of it than watched, but
I'm more of a listener. Baseball lends itself well to radio, and the Tigers have one of the best play-by-play guys in all of baseball, and Dan Dickerson. Shout out to him, even though he'll never hear it. But both of us here really appreciate the hell out of him.
Yeah. All right, take us out. We're out of here.
Yeah, we are out of here. We're going to be back next Tuesday. We'll be talking about the week and weekend that was here in Major League Baseball. And we'll give an update after the first matchup of our listener league. Looking forward to that. Hoping to be 1-0. And look, like we were saying earlier, baseball is a grind. I imagine pretty much every episode there's going to be injuries to go over and corresponding waiver moves. It's something that happens all the damn time. And that's how you win your league. Is by being a waiver whore, being ready before everybody else is. And that's what we're going to help you with.
Heck yeah. We're on the march to 200 subscribers. If you want, give us a like and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. Here every Tuesday and Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. We're out. Thanks a lot, folks. Have a great night.
It's supper time.